Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Isn't this a sports show?
So I got a haircut yesterday, 2 days ago. I also brought the beard in a little bit today.
Ooh.
And so this is basically, I'm just waiting for the guy that said I looked fatter on Facebook than I sound on the radio.
Almost entirely.
Just come back now. It was mostly fluff. Facebook commenter.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
He also called into the postgame show at one point, and he's cool. Mom, please stop bullying that guy. It's fine.
Not a joke.
Not a joke. Not a joke. None of what I just said was a joke. Every single syllable was a real thing.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
That was bad. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, but it was bad. There it is. Hold on. Let me change that. That was bad. I admit it. I'm not sorry.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810WHB.
Good news, bad news. The good news is that you're hearing my voice. I think that's good news, at least. And so, yes, there is an Almost Entirely Sports this evening. You're hearing it right now. The bad news is, because we're following sporting and the sporting post-game show, this show tonight's basically one segment. So, no complaints. We've had plenty of sports on here on Sports Radio 810, and I've gotten to do the post-game show. You've probably heard from me in one place or another, but if you think, Josh, are you going to somehow go this entire show without spending an inordinate amount of time on Le'Veon Bell? Yeah, I am, because I do think that would be hilarious, but we have so many things to talk about that have actually and will actually happen. And if the Chiefs sign Le'Veon Bell, then we'll do an emergency podcast or something, because I do think that would be flatly hilarious. But with that notwithstanding, I'm opening tonight's very short show with a tweet from listener Robert Foreman on Twitter. After thoroughly reviewing the All-22, I've determined you are the reason the Chiefs lost to the Raiders, Josh. Why? You broke a year-long tradition. There was no official AES and no party popper after the Patriots win. This created an anti-vacuum butterfly effect in Kansas City. Much like you'll hear from great leaders like Andy Reid, great players like Chris Jones, Patrick Mahomes, Tyrann Mathieu, I accept responsibility for that. I've got to be better. I have to plan better. I have to execute better. If what I needed to do was to revive Vine for just 6 seconds of shooting off a party popper to celebrate the Chiefs' win over the Patriots, that's what I should have done. But you're right. You're right. We had no party popper for the Patriots. We will not retroactively add one now. I believe that anti-vacuum has been filled with the loss to the Las Vegas Raiders. But it is it's hard to face and stare in the eyes of reality, and then to look in the mirror and to stare in my own eyes and realize it's my fault that the Chiefs lost to the Raiders. There are some other things that happened that we'll talk about over the next 20 minutes or so, but I do think that's a very appropriate place to start. I'm Joshua Briscoe. That's almost certainly evident. Rudy Salazar on the other side of the glass. We'll look ahead to Buffalo a little bit. We're going to look back at the Raiders first, though, because I think, frankly, like, listen, there are so many times, if you've been listening to this show for any period of time at all, you know that the most important thing in football by an infinite margin is your quarterback and how your quarterback plays. I mean, it's just, it's not close. And the Chiefs still, now at least once in both of these last two seasons, including this one, of course, the Chiefs have found ways to lose games. Their quarterback, honestly, was playing pretty well. Mahomes was nowhere near perfect against the Raiders, but he had some incredible throws that were undone by mistakes that weren't his. Coleccio Simile's holding penalty at the beginning. Nick Kizer had a drop. There were multiple times over the course of this game where excellent plays were not cashed in. That plus Mahomes not having his perfect game, again, by any means, but that plus everything else that was going on in a negative sense in this game, I think largely undercut what is generally my very, very strong rule of thumb, which is that, again, look at quarterback play first. The other thing is that Derek Carr was genuinely really good on Sunday. Now, that's not great for the Chiefs secondary, which we will certainly talk about, but that is also true. And I think that trying to tell the story of this game in any one place is going to ultimately sell it short. So that's why tonight we're going to hop around a lot. But let's work in front of Patrick Mahomes with one of many things that I think are interesting from this game that we talked about in the postgame show as well. Oh, also, Sad Fans on Reddit, Chiefs edition, unfortunately, the first Chiefs edition of the year. That is up on the Almost Entirely Sports podcast feed. It might be how you're already listening to this, so if so, you may have missed it. Beards did that. It's very good. I think it should make you feel better if you don't feel good right now about what happened to the Chiefs. You'll feel a little better. The medal stand, I thought, was excellent from what Beards had to pick from. Unfortunately, there were some sad Raiders fans from the beginning of the game that we're not going to get to hear from. But there was a stat that I saw on Twitter from Taylor Witt, which is also courtesy of Adam Teicher. The Raiders blitzed three times, which is maybe three times too many. I think distinctly I remember one time they blitzed and it, like, Mahomes just dunked it right over. That was the second lowest blitz rate in his career. Mahomes was 3 for 3 for 85 yards, by the way, on those three blitzes. But second lowest blitz rate of his career. But Mahomes was pressured on 57% of his dropbacks, which is the second highest pressure rate of his career, thanks to Taylor and Teicher for those. That is untenable. That is deeply, deeply ungood. And what Patrick Mahomes allows you to do as an offense is that if you're getting blitzed, he's succeeding. It's at this point, maybe not locally, but probably nationally, I think, is the most underrated part of Patrick Mahomes' game still, is that he is entering sort of cyborg mode in the reading your blitz, reacting to it, and it's already over in that sort of vein. The pre-snap read, mid-play reads, all of that. I think he may never get, you know, proper credit for that because he's so physically unique, and that's fine. I'm not saying that's, I'm not worried about it, but I think that's an underrated part of Mahomes' game. Alternatively, I mean, I think some of the best strategies we've seen have involved, hey, let's just drop 7 or 8 dudes back. Let's make Mahomes really work through the muck. Because the thing is, whenever you have NFL players on the field, specifically defensive backs, but defensive backs and some agile linebackers here or there, the reality is the maximum amount of windows, or the largest possible windows available, will eventually, those will begin shrinking the more bodies you put back there. I don't just mean, like, you know, direct lanes from quarterback to receiver, but even going over the top or having to take shorter stuff. I mean, there are ways offenses can adjust, but just sort of throwing the pocket sand into Patrick Mahomes' eyes, I think, has been clearly the best strategy for trying to limit him. What we saw from the Chargers, what we saw from really the Lions last year, what we've seen from the Patriots in some instances, is that you can, what we saw from the Niners for three quarters. The Chargers and Niners are probably the best examples of this next point specifically. It's rush 3 or rush 4 and get pressure. Now, we've joked that, you know, what that means is you have to have a Bosa, and then you still are going to lose because your offense can't quite do enough. Well, what happened against the Raiders is that the Chiefs went up against a Raiders defense, a Raiders pass rush that is not demanding of the kind of respect that the Chiefs ultimately like gave them on accident. They're a mid to low level pass rush, and they looked dominant against the Chiefs. Now, losing Kelechi Osemele, torn tendons in both of his knees, awful. I mean, I can't even imagine the rehab process for that. Just truly awful. Very little I think I can add to that, other than I hope he can play football again if he wants to. And then it sucks because he was at least the Chiefs' best interior offensive lineman to this point. Not flawless, but really excellent, and you know, was going to play a really important role for a team that is a championship contender. Just hate that for him. Seems like he made a good connection in the locker room, all those things. So hate that for Kelechi Osemele. But you know, purely sort of next man up mentality, Mike Rimmer stepped in, and it seemed like he played fine. It wasn't like the Chiefs made their move there. They had to replace Osemele, and then it was a sieve just right through Rimmers. The entire offensive line has been worse than I expected, flatly. I mean, it seems like I think at one point Mitchell Schwartz had a PFF grade of one of the worst blocking linemen in the league. I think it was at least 2 weeks ago. I certainly don't think he has not been Cam Irving, right? And there have been a couple plays where you've seen it looks like a Schwartz pressure, but really Mahomes drops too far back and stuff. So I don't want to be hyperbolic in that regard, but he has not been the type of, you know, shut down right tackle, if you will, I guess. You know, the way we might talk about an elite corner, we talked about Schwartz that way. You can put him opposite pretty much anybody, and you're going to feel pretty good about your matchup there. And Eric Fisher's had some bad snaps, and again, neither of them have been awful, but they've both been a tick worse than they were last year, I think. But beyond that, the interior was an issue last year. I mean, going through the Super Bowl, Stefan Wisniewski stayed in that lineup partially for continuity, but also partially because he was playing better than Andrew Wiley. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif opted out. Obviously, they signed Osemele in LDT's stead. Frankly, I think Osemele was playing better than LDT did last year. And then it's Austin Ryder in the middle at center, who I think has been kind of largely the same guy. And that offensive line is below average, and maybe below average, but merely being below average to average is fine. I really don't need Patrick Mahomes to have an absolutely flawless offensive line or anything. He'll work through a lot of issues, and if you're going to find places to kind of skimp on position groups, I think that's a reasonable place to do it. To say, yeah, we're going to keep drafting guys in late rounds and put them at guard and coach them up. We'll make it work. Lucas Niang opted out. Don't know what their plan for him this year was, but obviously they drafted him and then he opted out. I'm not panicking, and I'm also noting that Mahomes still has not been great in the pocket last year. Whenever he came back from his injuries last year, he was drifting back in the pocket and kind of fixed that. This year, he's been drifting back in the pocket sometimes where I think against the Raiders specifically, we actually saw him kind of run up through a clean pocket and make something positive out of it. But it is a point where I think we could continue seeing him improve. I think he knows that as well. But that entire unit kind of being the challenge that it was is concerning. I'm being concerned without being in any way panicked. I think you can do both of those things and kind of occupy that middle space. One thing quickly on the Chiefs running game, which has been really, really quiet, I would say, since the Texans game where they went up against a terrible rushing defense and that team was selling out to stop the deep ball and everything. So the Chiefs just ran it a lot. Since then, the running game and by translation there, also Clyde Edwards-Helaire, have not been effective. Specifically with Clyde, he hasn't been targeted very much at all in the passing game. That's really surprising to me and, frankly, really disappointing to me. Maybe that just comes later in the year. But that's what I would have bet on seeing from him that I was excited about, even though I wouldn't have drafted anyone playing running back in the first round. But one thing that I think we're seeing and that I want to just spend a moment on here is we could all see what's the problem with the Chiefs running game right now? What was the problem against the Raiders? What's been the problem basically since the Texans game? What has been the worst part of the Chiefs running game? It's the offensive line. I mean, they're not a good run blocking team historically. I mean, at least I would say really probably with Andy Reid for the most part. You've got Jamaal Charles highlights back in the day. Kareem Hunt obviously did some really good things in this offense, and maybe you can even look at once they let Mitch Morse walk, perhaps. But specifically right now, at the very least, and I would say last year this was also the case, none of the running backs last year were particularly excellent on the ground. Damien Williams, Darrell Williams was looking okay before he got hurt. Darwin Thompson last year, LeSean McCoy last year, Spencer Ware last year. A lot of guys obviously roll through, and none of them were needle movers last year. Very few running backs, if any, are needle movers, which is part of my larger point. But you can see right now the issue is that this offensive line, I mean, I saw someone tweet today, you know, here's all the goal line carries Clyde Edwards-Helaire has had so far. What's he supposed to do? There's nothing there for him. And that's kind of the point of the slightly lost the plot, running backs don't matter phraseology. Running games do matter. But whenever you invest all of this in a running back position, it does not guarantee that your running game is going to improve, like, at all. I mean, even now you can look around and there are some efficiency charts that Derrick Henry has not been a terribly efficient runner this year. In fact, he's been quite poor. The Giants offense has had some really good moments without Saquon Barkley out there on the field. The Panthers right now have hit their stride. Christian McCaffrey is on IR. You see this happening all over the place. You go, oh, wait a second. This running game improved. Remind me the name of the Jags running back. I've already forgotten. It doesn't matter. He's been better than Leonard Fournette was there, though. And he was a late round pick or undrafted or something. I literally have deleted that from my mind. Even the Ravens offense right now isn't firing on all cylinders at this point. The Vikings were trying to put away that game against the Seahawks without Dalvin Cook, and their backups were doing just fine. Anyway, all of those points, just to kind of like underline and underline and underline again, individual running backs very rarely actually move the needle, and certainly not to the tune of a first round pick, unless you're going to throw the ball to them a ton. Even then, again, like Christian McCaffrey right now is out, and the Panthers look decent at the very least. The Chiefs are not throwing the ball to Clyde as much as I would like for him to be catching the ball. Anyway, I'm not even trying to take like a victory lap here. I just think we're five games through this season, and I think we could have seen a lot of running backs have success on the ground against the Texans, and I have seen very few instances this year where Clyde Edwards-Helaire has meaningfully moved the needle, which isn't even a damnation of Clyde. It's just about the value. Is he the best running back on this roster? Yeah, I certainly think so. Would you rather have swapped him out for the now free agent Le'Veon Bell or swapped him out for Leonard Fournette whenever he became available, or anyone who, you know, was a late signing? Adrian Peterson still playing, Frank Gore still playing. I mean, I'm not trying to be again hyperbolic or dismissive or whatever. But I think we're just sort of seeing sort of that larger thesis in action here. He'll make meaningful plays. He's going to show up. It's just in that value conversation, I think we're kind of seeing, we're seeing that the offense was not saved by a running back, nor has it hit another gear. The Chiefs offense has not felt like it's firing on all cylinders yet at any point this year, and it was not saved by what could have been a more consistent running game or any sort of argument that would be thrown out in that regard. Anyway, we just spent, you know, 80% of the show on an offense that did score 32 points. Now, they were shut out in that third quarter. They were bad in the second half. That they got to wear all of that. That was all really frustrating, really disappointing. But they didn't single-handedly give up 40 points to Derek Carr. Again, on the ground, by the way, Devontae Booker on his 7 carries was as damaging as Josh Jacobs was on 23 carries. 3.3 yards per carry for Josh Jacobs, not the issue. What was the issue? How do you beat the Chiefs? It's not by grinding out clock or hitting it on the ground over and over again. It's bombs to Henry Ruggs, a bomb to Nelson Agholor, and being extremely efficient through the air and taking huge chunks whenever you get opportunities, whenever the Chiefs offense doesn't make you pay. And it worked to a T for the Raiders. Again, Ruggs, Agholor, Darren Waller only caught 5 passes, but he got 48 yards. They're a bomb to Hunter Renfrow. Those deep downfield targets and those big chunk plays, the long plays for those guys, 72 yards to Ruggs, 59 for Agholor, 23 for Waller, 42 to Renfrow. Alec Ingold had a 23-yarder. Those big chunk plays are what you need against the Chiefs, and the Raiders did that exceptionally well. 2 things here in like 2 minutes. One, the secondary, we just saw, like, Tre'Davious Ward was having his worst day in a long time. Bashaud Breeland came back, played a lot of snaps, played pretty well, I think. Rashad Fenton had some bad moments, but also, like, had the ball, like, caught on his helmet once that he just was in good position. You saw some bad safety mistakes. You saw Dan Sorensen come up for the underneath route on 3rd and long, whenever what ended up happening was a bomb over his head. You saw mistakes there. I think you saw mistakes from Juan Thornhill and Tyrann Mathieu also. For me, though, what I think becomes telling there is, you know, we've talked about how do you have the best possible defense? How do you build the best possible defense? Do you do it back up or front to back? The Chiefs have decided they were going to pay their safeties, who did not play very well in this game, predominantly being Dan Sorensen. I think Tedrick Thompson blew a coverage. But you know, the safety depth there especially. But really, again, Mathieu and Sorensen did not save. Mathieu and Thornhill certainly didn't save the secondary in this game. But the Chiefs said, we're going to pay our safeties in our pass rush, and we're going to pay one linebacker. They brought in Willie Gay also, obviously, not expensive, but draft capital. We're going to go pass rush, safeties, linebackers, and corners are going to figure themselves out because we're going to have everything else working there. The Chiefs' pass rush was bad. It was just bad against an okay to good Raiders offensive line. That might be the thing I'm most concerned about. It's either the Chiefs' offensive line or their defensive line are the things that I'm genuinely concerned about going forward. My hunch is that against the Raiders was more of a fluke, but I think if it was a fluke, regardless of the reasoning, I'll tell you this. I think that was the worst game we've seen from the Chiefs pass rush with Chris Jones and Frank Clark both on the field at the same time. It may have flatly been the worst game with Steve Spagnuolo as defensive coordinator, but to know... That wasn't Alex Okafor and Tano Passanio's fault, right? It wasn't Derek Nnadi and Mike Pinnell's fault. Chris Jones and Frank Clark were both out there, and they were, I remember Chris Jones hitting Derek Carr's arm or hand or something once. I think he might have batted down a pass also. I don't remember seeing Frank Clark, and I'm not like a Frank Clark truther. You know I'm not a Chris Jones truther. I was ecstatic that they extended Chris Jones, and the Frank Clark move, I think, has worked out in some big moments, obviously, that it's fine. I'm glad he's a Chief. They did not impact the game in a meaningful way against the Raiders in a way that it's really hard to have that happen and to really look anywhere else in that defense first. Tyrann Mathieu didn't get blown up 10 times in that game. On 31 passing attempts, I think Chris Jones and Frank Clark, even if I'm just rounding up for some like hurries that I don't really remember and stuff, how many times did they impact Carr on 31 pass attempts? 4 or 5? In meaningful ways, maybe they moved the pocket a little bit, but in meaningful ways, 2 or 3? I'm not passing enormous judgment on either of them or the moves to get them here or what they're getting paid or any of that. But I do think that that is a tremendous problem from what we saw on Sunday. the Chiefs are going to have a really hard time against good offenses, which at this point, with Ruggs healthy and looking like he looked, I would give you the Raiders' offense is good. The version of it that we saw against the Saints, I've told you I was not impressed by. I continue to be unimpressed by. But this offense against what we saw from the Chiefs and their underperforming pass rush with all of those downfield shots and the weapons to throw it to, I think it's legitimately good. You cannot fail to pressure the quarterback of a good offense. I didn't say good quarterback, it's because I'm withholding a little bit. You can't fail to pressure the quarterback of a good offense and have a secondary that you're in many ways relying on that pass rush to get home. Anyway, there's a few thoughts in our shortened show this evening. Sad Fans on Reddit is a podcast exclusive this week. You can go to aes.show or just search for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts. We're also putting up our Chiefs post-game shows there. We didn't look ahead to the Bills at all. You're going to have to follow me on Twitter at JB Briscoe. Maybe we'll do a little emergency pod or something ahead of that game to get a little bit of a Bills takeout. I don't know. Follow me on Twitter. We'll figure it out whenever we get there. Thanks for hanging out for a short show tonight. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye, Mom.